I guess what I do now for a job, which is design, lecturing in design, spatial design. From a very young age, I always knew that's what I wanted to do. And probably at the time, didn't realize how connected that actually was to my Māori tanga.
Nau mai ki te kōna I purangi a Māori Engineering. Welcome to the Māori Engineering Podcast. Tēnā koutou katoa. Ko tēnei kaupapa o tēnei wā, this kaupapa of this time is a kōrero with Georgina Stokes. Georgina Stokes is of Ngāi Tahu descent. This awesome wahine is a lecturer in spatial design at Tairau Whārangi, College of Creative Arts, at Massey University, ki te whanganui a Tara, right here in Wellington. We speak on things like her mahi in whakapapa plotting. She's also completed her Masters of Design, which was pretty cool. The output of this Masters of Design in kind of a tangible sense was her thesis titled Aroha ki o tātou kaimahi, which is all about reimagining the traditional workplace here in Aotearoa and doing that through plotting, mātauranga, and dreamscaping. Those terms, the plotting and the dreamscaping parts, were new to me, so we also delve into what those mean as well. We also speak on what it was like, her journey through academia, and also in parallel with that, learning her design degree, spatial design degree, also learning her Māori tanga, and now that she's a lecturer, what that means and what that means for the space that she's in to influence other Māori within a university setting. You'll see that there are some links in the episode notes, and that's to accompany this kōrero, and when you listen to it, you'll hear where we shout those out. All in all, Georgina is just awesome, stoked to be able to give her the space to share what she does, and even more privileged and stoked to be able to have some of bit of her time to share with us what she has to say. Nō reira, enjoy e te whānau. Te hui whāia, te mātauranga, kia marama, kia whai, taki ngā mahi katoa. Tū mai a tūkaha, aroha atu, aroha mai. Tātou kia tātou katoa, te hei, mauri ora. Mauri ora. Ka pai. Kia ora, Georgina.
Tēnā koe, ihoa.
How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Awesome. I'm very well, thank you. And with that opening karakia, for the words tātou kia tātou katoa, meaning like let us show us respect for each other, so that's including us sharing this kōrero, but all those listening and choosing to listen to your story. So tēnā koutou katoa. I really excited to get into it. Kāpai.
Kāpai. Me too. Nervous but excited.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, kind of just like telling your story to like a stranger, recording that and putting it out there. But I'm really, really excited to hear about you and hear the mahi that you're doing. Just increasing, or maybe, I don't know, hopefully empowering what you're doing as well forward to.
Awesome.
Alrighty. Ai, no hia koe, iho. Ko wai koe.
Ko auraki te maunga, ko waitaki te awa, ko ngai tahu te iwi, ko ngā te ro hiki hiki te hapu, ko te taumutu te runanga, ko ngā timoki, te marae, no otatahi ahau, ko Georgina Stokes toko ingoa, no reira ngā mihi nui ki a koe. But I'm Georgina. I'm from Ototahi. I currently live in Whanganui Atara, Wellington, and I am a lecturer at Ngā Pae Mahutonga, the School of Design at Tōiro Whārangi, College of Creative Arts, Massey Uni.
Awesome.
What else to say?
Cool, that's awesome. I suppose I can get on to your mahi up into Whanganui Atara in a second, but maybe delve into your life in Ototahi, Ngāi Tahu. How was life in Ototahi as Ngāi Tahu, as Māori living within your bounds, or within your realm, I suppose? How was that for you?
It's great. It was wonderful to grow up in Ototahi and go through most of my schooling there. I was very connected to do now for a job, which is design, lecturing in design, spatial design. From a very young age, I always knew that's what I wanted to do, and probably at the time, didn't realize how connected that actually was to my Māori tanga. Probably didn't really understand how much design could influence my learning of Te Ao Māori until I left Ōtautahi. I grew up not sort of, I guess, formally connected to my whakapapa. And so leaving when I was 18 and moving up here really helped me to want to understand more about my whakapapa and where I'm from and my tūpuna. Yeah, so that's kind of where I guess a big part of my journey started, was leaving Ōtautahi. Yeah.
Sometimes it takes that, eh? You kind of don't realize. Well, I suppose in order for you to grow, you sometimes need to get out of your own environment and kind of look back
Absolutely.
to see, kind of have that perspective.
Yeah, and realize how valuable that is. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
No, absolutely.
So.
You said something that was like, you didn't realize that, well, the fact that you went into design as an academic and how that related to your Māori tanga. Could you talk about that a little bit more, please?
Yeah, sure. So I studied a Bachelor of Spatial Design and then went on to do my Master's in Spatial Design. And I guess maybe for people who are not familiar with the term spatial design or what that is as a discipline, spatial design, if I could explain it, as more than just the design of buildings. It's more about how people experience space. And so it intersects with the more traditional fields of architecture, landscape design, interior design, urban performance, exhibition, etc. But the approach to designing is all through the bodily experience of space, and it really comes from a position of care for people, care for living creatures, care for the environment. We design and consider how light and materiality and the importance of sight and context and place-based design will impact our understanding of space. And that is so intrinsically Māori, and the way that we have a cultural spatial sensibility, the way that us as Māori move in space in relation to our mātauranga, how our spaces have been designed by our tūpuna. So it's been a really fascinating starting that journey of studying and then realizing so much of how connected I really was.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. So did you, understanding that your Bachelor of Spatial Design was intrinsically kind of reflecting these Māori values that you also intrinsically have, was that set up by like, was there kind of like a click moment? Did you realize that through people within your degree, or like was that kind of covered, or what's the word? Was that kind of like shown to you through your like assignments? Like how, I suppose, like what was the instigator of how you realized that?
Sure. Think the real instigator of that was actually a wonderful friend that I made on the first day of uni. We sat together in our first spatial design class, and her name is Libby White, and she whakapapas to Te Atiawa. And it was from my friendship with Libby that I realized how powerful spatial design can be to not only connect to our Māori tanga, but also offer contributions to our future tamariki so they can see themselves represented in our spaces and how we experience the world. So yeah, Libby was a massive influence on me in the way that she approached our assignments. She worked with her whānau in a really collaborative way, and yeah, it's all about the people. But I was also very lucky to have some wonderful lecturers who I have the privilege of working alongside now, who also really encouraged and empowered both Libby and I to be working and influencing our projects in that way.
Yeah, awesome. What were the sort of the projects that you were working on? Or I suppose
So,
I don't know if, were they mock projects or were they actual projects or like how did
more sort of conceptual, speculative projects. I probably didn't get the confidence to work on a project that really connected to my Māoritanga until after my bachelor's degree. But in the case of Libby, she worked on this amazing project. It was called Te Papa Kāinga o ngā Kuaka. And it was an urban design intervention celebrating the home of the Godwits, and so the way that you walk through space. Everyone should Google the project and have a
So
look.
what was the Ingwer again? What was the name again?
Te Papa Kāinga o ngā Kuaka.
Cool. I'll
I can send you that.
yeah. Shaka us the link and I'll send it in the put it in the
Yeah,
show
little
notes. It'll be
mahi
all fancy like that.
to
Yeah.
Libby.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. So and you kind of alluded to it about how you kind of moving forward through your academics. So you completed your Masters of Design.
So I got to the end of my bachelor's and I just sort of felt a bit incomplete, like I hadn't quite achieved what I wanted to achieve in my degree. I think there was a part of me that realized I just didn't quite have the confidence to step into a space that could explore Matauranga within spatial design. And so my master's was really born out of this personal mission to be able to gain that confidence and also offer that confidence to other people. And I guess since completing that master's project, I've realized that it's never ending. There are infinite possibilities with it, and it's this sort of constant moving horizon that I'm always trying to meet. And I think maybe now I'm less trying to race to meet it, but I'm more comfortable with the way or the pathways that my mahi is taking me at the moment.
That's a really cool whakaaro of like, yes, always trying to reach something, but do you feel as though you're able to kind of smell the roses to a sense to realize the stuff that you are doing now, kind of thing?
A little bit. I think probably can pra could practice that a bit better. I think that in academia, there is sort of this constant moving forward and doing the next thing, which can be challenging, and actually taking a step back and looking at what you have done.
Yeah, that's how you kind of, is that how you kind of cope with that? I imagine otherwise, I suppose otherwise it would just, I don't know, be hard. Be real hard.
Indeed. Yeah, it is challenging at times.
Awesome. So your, master's thesis of Aroha ki o tātou kaimahi. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but the sentence was, I don't know, I think it's just, I remember back at uni how like you crafted a sentence to say exactly what you wanted it to say and every word had a meaning. So I'm going to read this sentence out because it's blooming beautiful. So Aroha ki o tātou kaimahi rigorously reimagines the process of designing traditional workplace environments in Aotearoa. That's so cool.
Indeed, I thank you.
Would you be able to speak to what your master's design thesis was on and I suppose, yeah, how it came to be and more of what it's about and that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. So, the master's thesis was focused specifically on workplace design at the beginning. It definitely morphed a lot from there, but it was focused on reimagining workplace design in Aotearoa to better represent our Māoritanga and our culture, our traditions, our sense of place. And started off with a critique of our current workplace environments and the globalized design methodology that has been used in those environments, and thinking of how we can better design to be reflecting Aotearoa. And so that's where it started. And then as I was designing these workplaces, I realized the actual process of designing was something that I had to almost go through a process of decolonizing first for myself. And the way that we move through our design phases from a analysis of site into conceptual design, so pre-design, conceptual design, developed design, detailed design output, I realized there needed to be a pre part to that, a part where we in Aotearoa, we spend time reimagining our spaces by understanding all of the tangible and intangible influences on those spaces before we can even begin to think about what might exist in the future. And so through that project, instead of designing a workplace, I ended up developing a what would I call it? Maybe a tool. I'm not sure about that word though. An approach to our pre-design process where you plot out all of the information that is influencing the site in what I'm now calling a whakapapa plot. So being able to visually see the impacts of people's memories, experiences, connection, pūrākau, and the actual physical environment, the sun, the wind, what's been underground, and seeing that all in one visual field and experiencing the Māori of that drawing is kind of where it got to in a
Whoa.
nutshell.
Amazing. That's so awesome. Okay, heaps of points that we could
Sorry,
probably
that was
go
a
from
lot.
there. That was awesome. In terms of, I suppose, like a first tangible thing, or like an unpacking question. I'm really keen to learn of, like, how did you gain the kōrero, the pūrākau, all of the kind of the inputs basically,
Sure.
and how did you decide upon that, and like what should be inputted, and I suppose is the
Yeah.
information available, like all that sort of kōrero.
Yeah, for sure. So, sort of a mixture of a lot of kōrero with my auntie Den. My auntie Den is amazing mana wahine. Who has been really pivotal in Māori education in Ōtautahi. She's definitely someone I look up to very much. So, and Auntie Den would take us under her wing and tell us all sorts of pūrākau about Ōtautahi and also about our tūpuna. So Auntie Den was really pivotal for a lot of that understanding. I also maybe a note, something that I've realized with this method of plotting is that the person plotting is really embedded within the visual narrative that takes place, and it's one person's way of expressing things, and so that's why it's so connected with, I guess, my whakapapa too.
Yeah, awesome.
So Auntie Den, and then also with the Ōtautahi rebuild, there has been heaps of amazing work done by using my pahu kaimahi to create documents to help designers and architects and planners to understand pūrākau that are necessary to be responding to or uplifting the mana of within future design. So there is a document called Grand Narratives, which was offered by I'm gonna annoy myself that I can't remember the author of Grand Narratives. I will find that for you. And also the organization Matauraka Mahanui had some amazing resources for designing the future of Ōtautahi. So was a mixture of all of those things and also personal experience of those sites.
Awesome. So I just Googled Grand Narratives. Matapōpuri.
Yeah, that's
Is
right.
that
Yeah.
Akapapa?
Yeah, the Mata Pōkori Trust. Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. I suppose, why would you say to someone who isn't who doesn't know, maybe doesn't know,
What is the importance of recognizing this sort of or this mātauranga within our places and spaces when designing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that I touched on before the concept of cultural spatial sensibility or cultural cognitive mapping is what I guess a lot of academic writing has named this approach. But this approach of cultural cognitive mapping of mapping out all of the influences on space is something that our tūpuna have done forever. And I think for me, I was questioning, so as a visualizer of space, how can I be learning from my tūpuna and the approaches and then creating a method that people can see and experience the visuals of that could be then translated into physical design today. So I think it's definitely there's a process involved in this method, but I think that it's really important that we have these systems in place so that our mātauranga can be preserved within every thread of the spatial design architectural process and not lost along the way.
Absolutely. Like from the start, even though you're saying like pre all of the kind of frameworks that are in place at the moment, we kind of need to stop, holistically look,
Absolutely.
and not even discover, because it's not like a new thing, but it's just like realize
No.
what's already there.
Yeah, honoring what exists and being able to visualize that.
Oh, awesome. So with your thesis, what did the end product look like, and what did you learn from it? Otherwise, other than like a heck of a lot of what you learned. But yeah, so some points on
So
that.
the end result was a series of these whakapapa plots, which visualized and mapped out wairau or tautahi and the phenomenological influences on their spaces. And then moving through, I was focusing on a specific location, a specific workplace. So then zooming in on that specific workplace, mapping out the phenomenological influences and then kind of zooming in further. So it was a series of really massive visualizations that I exhibited as at my examination. And they were experienced at the end of the project and one-to-one in physical scale. And I learned so much. And I'm still learning an incredible amount from this work. So the point that it sort of ended on in my master's is that a whakapapa plot could be a koha, be gifted to the people who are moving into the design process next, or in my case, I've done some whakapapa plotting since, and that is gifted back to the people who are wanting the design to happen in the first place. And so as a reminder of what the energies of the wairua at the site before anything happens.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Would you be able to give an example of like a like yeah, like an example of what a whakapapa plot look like in tautahi? Like, I suppose that those who are familiar with the wahi, so then they could kind of.
Sure. So if you could imagine my sort of a plan view of Ōtautahi, but I might have to send you
Yeah.
some sort of
I
like
was gonna say, it's probably a
it's
mean
hard
thing to.
to explain. But the actual physical places or locations in Ōtautahi have been skewed in scale based on the how they've been how they are experienced within Pūrākau. And I guess a lot of my thinking came from looking at Tuki Tahua's map of Aotearoa. And so the map, Tuki's map, was one of the early documentations of mapping under the influence of Captain James Cook. And Tuki don't know, probably was not asked, but
Mm-mm.
was drew a map of Aotearoa, and the map was, it's incredible. It's completely skewed by Tuki's experience. So the Te Waipounamu is really small in scale, and then you move through, and the places that Tuki has experienced or understands where different people live, that bigger in scale. And then down the center of the map is this, I guess you would say, spiritual highway going up to the top of the North Island. And so it was mapping and plotting information that was not physical, but so important, those intangible metaphysical qualities of space. And so a lot of whakapapa plots learn from that method, and are not things that you can physically see, but are more feelings in those spaces. It's very hard to describe verbally.
No, that's
They
awesome.
are experienced visually.
I think exactly, and I think a lot of in different spaces, it's there's a lot of explanation that's being asked of like why people or why Māori do things certain ways, and it's almost like it's the feeling, it's the wairua,
Absolutely.
it's how, yeah, you experience and you can't quite describe that. And I think that's what's also so beautiful about it as well. So that's really awesome that there's something like this that is represented in that way too. That's awesome. And I touched on a little bit earlier of like what, so you're still kind of, yeah, so you're still using whakapapa plotting, what you've learned from your masters in your day-to-day now. Would you like to speak on that? On
So I recently have published an idea journal, which is the Interior Design or Interior Architecture Educators Association's journal,
fancy.
a process of how a process of how you can apply whakapapa plotting in different contexts. And so I spoke through the process of whakapapa plotting that I did for Paparoa Street School in Ōtautahi as they were developing or designing their new school post-earthquake. But whakapapa plotting is sort of morphed into not necessarily spatial design anymore, but I'm working on some whakapapa plotting for some projects for government at the moment. How you can plot out wānanga, and how you can show the connections between kōrero, and how they can be visualized in this spatial way, so that we can see connections between whakaaro, and ultimately, I guess, make decisions about things. But that's something that's still in the works, but it's pretty, I'm very privileged to be able to continue developing this drawing tool in many different ways, and have so many wonderful people supporting that too.
Yeah, awesome. That's awesome. If someone were to, if someone were wanting to access this sort of thing, or say owning something as small as like their own tari, their own workplace office, their own that sort of thing, and wanting to understand how whakapapa plotting can be used within that design, how can they go about that?
Yes, maybe starting by possibly reading the Idea Journal whakapapa plotting article. Maybe a good place to start. In my position as a lecturer at Ngāpai Mahutonga, I've have the privilege of teaching our tauira about whakapapa plotting, and we're seeing that become a method that's being used in our studios, which is really, it's really wonderful to see. And and also seeing how our tauira are interpreting that method into their own context. And so it's sort of growing in that way as well.
Yeah, beautiful. You've just done like a beautiful segue for me to ask a tātai about your lecture. So tēnā koe. Mahi is a lecturer. How did, like, that's awesome. How did you get into that?
Thank you. How did it happen? So, well, I kind of always wanted to when I was studying and I saw how amazing and empowering my lecturers were for me and my learning, I thought how much of a privilege that would be to do that for other people, myself. And so when I was studying my master's, I used to say to the spatial design lecturers, can I please, I could do a tutorial, I could do this, like, where do you need me? I'll just help out. And so I did a few tutorials for them. And then I was really lucky, just as I finished my master's, a job came up and I started working at Ngā Pae Mahutanga as a senior tutor and working in sort of more of a technical role, teaching software and visualization. And then more recently, through the research that I've been doing, I've moved into a lecturing role, which enables me to continue to do my research, but then also teach as well, which is just so wonderful because they kind of go hand in hand. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I suppose, how do you feel being, someone that people can look up or does look up to, or yeah, how do you feel being a person that people look up to, and in that role where you've spoke on people who've been massive influences in your life, how does that feel knowing that you were that for someone else?
I feel like I think of myself more as a supporter for our students, and because I've been where they've been really recently, and I want to be able to empower them as much as possible. So that's really important to me. But also, I think that as a Māori academic, I'm really passionate about seeing more of our rangatahi in academic spaces. I think that I read recently in a spin-off article that Māori academics make up of about 5% of the workforce across the eight universities, and recently that number has stagnated. And so I'm really, really keen to show our tauira that they're there's so much value for them to be in these spaces and sort of see people, I guess, working hard in these spaces and being recognised. And I work to create space for our tauira in the future. But then also at the same time for tauiwi to see Māori as experts and really value the work that we do in our matranga just as much as the Western approaches that dominate our academic institutions. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to ask about that in terms of the academic institution. I've heard it described before as a different shape, I think it was Ariana George, actually, someone on the podcast, awesome Wahine, described it as triangle shaped cube or triangle shaped object trying to fit into a square shaped hole. Like it's just yeah, sometimes it doesn't fit. So I suppose how have you found it, and how do you think it can be bettered?
Sure. So yeah, I think that our academic institutions need to and can do a lot more to support Māori in these spaces. But also, I've been so blessed that in Te Rauwharangi, there are so many amazing mana wahine that I work alongside and taught me and learn from every day that go above and beyond to create really safe spaces for our Māori tauira to learn. We have, and I've been teaching into some really awesome papers like Tahuhu Kōrero, Histories in the House, which were set up by the amazing Ernest Starkle. And I teach with Sonia Withers, who is an incredible Pacific lecturer. And we are working really hard to create safe spaces for our Māori and Pacific kāua. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
awesome.
I think we can do more and we can keep doing more, but we do need the support to do more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And in terms of space, like safe spaces, is that, I suppose, what, how are you, what does that look like?
Sure. So, for example, Tahu Kōrero, which is a second year critical contextual studies paper, is a paper that we develop and run for our Māori and Pacific tauira, and we teach those papers. We have some of our classes in our Te Reo Karamu Marae. The tikanga that we have in those papers, they're really they're essentially a session, hours for us to wānanga, and we learn so much from everyone, each other in those spaces. There are no hierarchies. And it's my favorite part of the week.
Oh, beautiful. That sounds amazing. That would be my favorite part of the week too. That sounds amazing. It's awesome. I was just gonna, for you kind of, yeah, your own. So you started this episode kind of saying that you weren't too connected within your own Māori tanga growing up. How do you feel knowing that this is your day to day now?
I feel so blessed, and I am really, I'm so grateful that through my studies and through design, I have found a way that I can learn and also offer value in this space. And I think that's really important, being able to offer value and not sort of taking information. And it's a real privilege to be able to be designing and teaching and researching and everything folding together. And I could not have imagined if you told me at 18 years old, moving from Ōtautahi, that I'd be doing this. So I would not believe you.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, not awesome, but like awesome that that's kind of feel that's where you feel like you're
I
at
know what
now.
you mean. Yeah, and I've got a long, long way to go as well. But I feel like I'm in the right place to be doing this mahi and have such wonderful support from my colleagues.
Where do you think you'll go when you're saying you've got a long, long way to go? Do you have
Oh, I
an
was
aim?
fearful that you would ask this question. I don't know.
Cool.
I think I'm really open to seeing where the mahi I'm doing at the moment will take me. Just follow the hour wherever it goes.
And all the sharp turns and the fall in and then get back on wherever you're on sort of vibe.
Absolutely. And I think with my master's, and I learned so much, I was going and so determined that I was going to be designing a workplace. And that whole process was really challenging, letting go of the fact that actually I couldn't come out with a solid design outcome. That was not the right path for me in that. And being comfortable with not knowing where I would end up, but landing where I have was so valuable.
Oh, that's beautiful. Whānau pātai. My mum actually gave me this question. I was like, oh, explain to you were kind of a bit about what you did. And she was like, what? I asked her, what would you want to ask? And she was like, which is actually classic, because it's a pātai that I sometimes ask, manuhiri or kai kōrero anyway. But it was like, person, 18-year-old high school, what's the best advice you would give to that person? Or what would the best advice be you would give to yourself as an 18-year-old? In either way, which is,
I think so many things. But one thing that I've talked a little bit about today is to really value the relationship with the people that you meet along the way and how much they can influence you. I think that it's all about people, and making time for connections and kōrero. So important. And I think For me, being more introverted, especially when starting uni, that opening myself up to going to things and events that I maybe wouldn't to connect with people.
Yeah, just having spaces for whanaungatanga, eh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And time for that, making it a priority.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
I think I'll listen back to this later and think I could have said a million other things.
Nah, I love the off the bat, like that's from the heart. That's real cool. And obviously it's led you to where you are now. So
Yeah.
it sounds like you've picked that kind of that thought up on the way. So yeah, that's awesome advice. And I think a lot of the time we lose sight of that. And so that's really awesome. Awesome reminder. That's awesome.
Me.
Cool. I'm all questioned out. Do you have any part that you'd like to ask me?
No, Patai, just more. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I know that
Of
I'm
course.
not typical Māori in engineering, but maybe the processes and the thinking of my mahi may inspire someone out there.
Oh, awesome. There is no typical Māori engineering kind of here at all. And I think that's what's also the cool thing about it. And definitely think it would inspire at least one, if not many more, I'm sure. You've inspired me. So ngā mihi nui kia
Kia
koe e
ora.
hoa. Ai, rawe. Okay, cool. I was expecting like a question and expecting like a long-winded answer to be given. So this is super efficient. Hoia no, we shall close with karakia, o whakatakati hou. Rawe. Mēnui taua o tātou. Whakatakati hou ki te iru, whakatakati hou ki te tonga. Kia mā kina kina ki uta, kia mā taratara ki tai. E hiaki ana te ātākura, he tio, he huka, he hauhu, ti hei, mauri
Yeah, Māori
ora.
ora.
Rawe.
If you're keen to tautoko this kaupapa of the Modern Engineering Podcast, ways you can do that is rating what you reckon this podcast is worth in terms of a 1 to a 5 star on wherever you're listening to this podcast, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, that sort of thing. That helps this podcast get recognised to people who haven't gotten it through word of mouth. And such like, really would appreciate that. Other things you can do is reach out to me. Let me know who you'd want to see on the podcast or what sort of kaupapa you'd like to be spoken about. Real keen to hear your whakaaro on that as well. And with that, e mihi ana ki a koutou katoa mō tō koutou whakarongo. Thank you so much for listening. Ka paitia te pūkahitanga Māori, elevating Māori in engineering. And I reckon we're doing this one toe at a time, one episode at a time. Hearing the stories of amazing Māori within this amazing space. Nō reira, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora.